Missouri Correctional Center in Cameron, Missouri, after he was convicted of one count of capital murder and two counts of second-degree murder and a triple homicide. He received a 50-year life sentence without the possibility of parole for a crime he maintained he wasn't even involved in. He was in a wheelchair, spoke shortly after he was released from jail yesterday afternoon, said he's thankful for his attorneys and everyone there. This goes back to 1978, where four people were shot in Kansas City. It resulted in three deaths. The only survivor of the crime, Cynthia Douglas, who died 6 years ago, testified back in 78 that Strickland was at the scene of the triple murder. She survived the shooting, and then later she claimed her initial failure to identify him was due to the use of cognac and marijuana. But over the past 30 years, she said she made a mistake and falsely identified Strickland. And there had been efforts to try to free him through the Missouri Innocence Project, but it just never happened. And so now he's been exonerated.
43 years.
He went in at age 20
oh,
or 19.
No.
Age 19. Yeah. So that was taken care of. Okay. You should know this, Snoop. You like breakfast, right?
Yes.
Well, expect to pay more for some of your favorite breakfast items next year. Cereals, snacks, soups, cooking brands. General Mills has notified retail customers that it is raising prices in mid-January on hundreds of items across dozens of brands. Includes Annie's, Progresso, Yoplait, Fruit Roll-Ups, Betty Crocker, Pillsbury, Cheerios, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms. Are you listening, Linda? Wheaties. Coach Beard, by the way, likes Lucky Charms. Wheaties, Reese's Puffs, Trix, and more. For some items, prices will go up by as much as 20%. So, just be ready for that.
And keep those Wheaties on the shelf. They're so nasty.
Not into Wheaties, are you?
No.
Okay.
Tastes terrible. Tastes like cardboard.
Okay. All right. Finally, we have a Florida Man story. We have to because we have no show Friday, so no Florida Man. But this is a rehash because people are still doing this in Florida. Clearwater, Florida, this happened last year where a Florida family got a lot of attention after sharing their unique family tradition on social media. Mark O'Donnell and his family found an unusual way to defrost their Thanksgiving turkey, because we know that's where a lot of people go off the tracks is the proper defrosting. They threw it into their swimming pool. Now, it was thawed in just a few hours. He said, most people wonder, doesn't the chlorine get into the turkey? These bags are sealed by the factories. We've never had a leakage yet, and there's no chlorine in our turkey. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends three ways to safely thaw a turkey: in the refrigerator, in cold water, or the microwave. He says he knows his way is not recommended. He says the family tradition has been happening for 18 years after they once forgot to take the turkey out of the freezer there. So they do it that way every year, and apparently other people in Florida this year are now doing it. Just throwing those turkeys into your swimming pools, because Florida has a lot of swimming pools. So there you go. Happy Thanksgiving with your chlorine-tasting turkey. Actually, they say there's no chlorine in it, so that's good. All right. Coming up, second hour, speaking of Thanksgiving meals, we're going to ask Vic Schaefer what his plan is. He had to alter it last year due to COVID, but we'll get his breakdown on Thanksgiving. Plus, obviously, a look at his Texas women's basketball team. Bowie Bulldogs head coach Jeff Abels joins us as well, second hour. And we have to do also your Supreme Lending picks. Jeff Howe has sent his along for the college games.
He texted him in, yeah.
Okay, and you got yours for the NFL picks. We'll do those as well. All that and more coming up in hour number two of Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, where we are live, local, and digital. Here on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports, with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on this Thanksgiving Eve. Here on the Horn, 1049, 1019, and AM 1260. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us. And hope you're enjoying getting ready and ramped up and amped up for Thanksgiving. Just a couple of program reminders for you. Our final show of the season with Coach Sark comes your way tonight. Now, for those of you interested in the taping of it, we'll be over at Pluckers at 5 o'clock to tape that. And the show will end about 10 o'clock tonight. It'll be preceded by Longhorn Men's Basketball, Texas against California Baptist, 7 o'clock airtime, 7:30 tip-off here on the Horn and on Coke FM. And then, of course, don't forget on Saturday afternoon, Texas women in action against CSUN, as they call themselves, Cal State University Northridge. And that is a 1 o'clock tip-off at the Irwin Center. We'll look forward to bringing you that one on 105.3 The Bat. Speaking of that, we're always pleased to have join us for our weekly conversation and also his flexibility to be able to move it up a day since tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline is Longhorns head coach Vic Schaefer. Vic, I appreciate the time. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm road weary. I've been gone... We got back Sunday night from Tennessee. I was on the flight Monday morning to L.A. Recruiting. Was out there Monday, got up Tuesday, flew all the way back to Mississippi, recruited there yesterday, and got in last night late, midnight.
And,
here it is Wednesday, and ready to get back in the saddle and get after it and have a great practice with my kids. I miss them.
Well, and I know this, too. You were grinding on the airplane on the flight. I was on that flight with you guys coming back home, and I saw you diving into the video, looking at all the cut-ups on that, on where you're going to go. And I've asked you this question before, but I do think it's important for folks to understand, because I know you, like you said, you miss your players. You're very, very close to them. They mean an awful lot to you. It doesn't mean that you don't get a little, say, unhappy or out of sorts or something when things don't go well, as what happened in the final few minutes of the game in Knoxville. That's what coaches do. You coach up kids hard and try to get them turned back around. And I know it was a difficult, 6 minutes and 10 seconds without a point there when Tennessee made its run. When you step back from that and look back at it from the 30,000-foot view, what are the things that really stand out in your mind, not necessarily just about those last few minutes, although that's part of it, but the game in totality and where your kids are as you get them back on the practice floor and get them ready to go back to work?
Yeah, well, I always feel like up four, down four with four to go, it's my job to get them home. And, we didn't get home. And so that's my responsibility. When you look at the film, we really got out tough. We got out physical, and that's something that me, my staff, our players, we really take great pride in being, is tougher than everybody else. And we just really didn't walk the walk Sunday. We missed a bunch of jump shots, bunch of 15-footers, 10-footers in the lane. I mean, it wasn't like you were there. It wasn't like we were running out of time and getting in a shot clock violation, just couldn't get a shot off. We got every shot we had worked on for 3 days against that extended 2-3 zone. But, you know, when the lights come on, sometimes you react differently, and we attacked it way differently than what we talked about in practice and what we had worked on. But again, obviously I didn't convey that to them, and we weren't able to, execute in that period of time. But again, it wasn't like we're running out of time on the shot clock. We can't get open. We're, not setting good. It wasn't any of that. It was free throw blockouts is where we lost the game. And then our inability to make a 10 to 15 footer, free throw line and in. I mean, it really comes down to being that simple. And And, you know, we talk about that, Craig. I've told my kids, this team and every team before that, because I've had it happen before in a big game, you hate to go back to the locker room when the game's over and you lose the game by one because you had somebody miss a finger roll. You know, a finger roll is an eye shot. You know, that's all about the person shooting it, right?
Yeah.
Instead of shooting it right, they want to go in there and have a little style, so they finger roll it. Well, you miss a finger roll, you don't want to be in a locker room knowing you lost the game by one when all you had to do is make an easy layup. The other thing is you don't ever want to go back there and know you lost the game because you couldn't block out on a free throw. And we had multiple free throw blockout issues. Not just one, but multiple. Again, my job to get that done, get it coached, make sure they understand the importance of that. And we just didn't, we really struggled with that. So, hey, all fixable, nothing permanent, nothing catastrophic. And we'll work on that first thing today, right out of the chute. We always make up blockouts after games. We gave up 18 offensive rebounds. We got 20 offensive rebounds, Craig. That's a pretty good stat, you know, but we shot it poorly over the course because of that last 6.5 minutes. I think we shot 30% from the field. And we could say we lost the game at the free throw line too. We missed some critical free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I heard it's very difficult for coaches to even try to get too much into free throw shooting. The thing that was maddening about that is your team hit its first nine. They were 9 for 9. And then six consecutive misses after that. And nobody knows the rhyme or reason because the misses started before you got to the quote unquote, did they freeze up? Did they get nervous? It started before that. So, I mean, how much can you even say to your team, do you say to your team about free throw shooting?
Well, I think what you say is make sure you make your 50 today. You know, we make 50 a day before or after practice. So it's something that we keep track of. So, it's important, you know, it's like the pro golfer that stands over a shot, you know, on 18, he's got a one shot lead or he's tied for the lead and he's standing over a shot, you know, 165 yards in, the pin's tucked to the left. Is he standing in the middle of the fairway going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, or is he relying on his training and muscle memory? And for me, it's the same thing a golfer says when he's standing over that shot. See it, feel it, trust it. And that's what you got to do standing at the free throw line. You see it, you feel it, you trust it. And I've always – the only thing I've ever coached a kid on at the free throw line is if they don't have – you know, good technique. I'm going to obviously mess with their feet. But the other thing is, when you shoot a free throw, you should be trying not to touch the rim. I mean, don't touch the rim. That's all I've ever said to anybody shooting a free throw is, hey, if you're going to shoot a free throw, try not to touch the rim. Other than that, good shooters, good players, they're going to make free throws.
No doubt about it. Visiting with Vic Schaefer, Texas women's head coach. I know the non-conference portion of the season, even when you play teams like Stanford and Tennessee, but certainly when it comes to playing a team like CSUN or somebody else like that, I've heard coaches say, and you included, that it has to be more about you and less about the opponent. That said, do you know much about this group coming in on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, their top two scorers are shooting the ball extremely well. They played a good schedule. They're not going to be scared or intimidated. They're well coached. I know their coach very well and have coached against her before. And so, you know, they won't be intimidated at all. And we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to play well. We're still banged up. We still have issues there and, so it's that hasn't changed. It's not going to be any different on Saturday. So, I'm hopeful hopeful we get Kobe back today, maybe for some half court stuff. We'll see how she adjusts to that. But you know, we've got to continue to work and get better. That's the key. We got a little stretch here, 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, practice. We got to get better.
Visiting with Vic Schaefer here on the road. Okay, now let's get on to the real important stuff. Let's talk Thanksgiving. Let's talk meals, because I know it had to be heartbreaking for you last year. You were able to cook for your family, but it was difficult because of everything that happened with COVID. First of all, are you having the team over to your house?
Well, I got a lot of kids from not far away.
Yeah.
So right now we're in negotiation on trying to figure out, you know, if we can get some things done, get them out of here early Thursday, let them get home for Thanksgiving meal with their family, which, man, I completely get and totally support. But they got to be back because we've got to work out early Friday morning. Football's at 11, so typically we'd go 8 to 10:30. But everything's kind of up in the air right now because I do want them to be able to enjoy their family. And those that are staying back, they know I'm going to have some good food at the house. And, you know, they're all obviously welcome to come to the house. I've been gone basically 2.5 days, so I've heard there may be some maybe one of the players cooking in at their apartment. So I'll find all that out today. But one thing's for sure, at the Schaefer house, we're going to have turkey and mama's dressing. Homemade dressing. There'll be a couple of pies from LaGrange at the house. We'll probably have some sweet potato casserole and some green beans. And it ain't gonna be no good, but we're gonna eat it.
All right. So all right, let's do the meal breakdown here, Vic. All right. First of all, the turkey. Do you deep fry the turkey? Do you cook the turkey in the oven? And what's your technique for how you prepare a turkey?
We're gonna put him in the oven. You know, Mama used to, you know, used to put them in a big old, they didn't have cooking bags way back in the day. Now we got cooking bags, which makes it a whole lot better and keeps it really moist because a turkey can dry out now if you ain't careful. So we'll cook that turkey in the oven in a cooking bag and save the juice. Then we'll make some really good gravy out of the juice that's at the bottom of the bag when we take him out of the oven. So, that'll be what we do. Now, you don't ever get surprised. I could smoke one on the smoker real easy, and probably going to have a spiral, honey spiral ham also, just to have a second meat.
All right. So there's the two meats there. Now we get to the side dishes. Which ones are you most proud of and are most important to the meal? Because one of the questions I asked on the show today, Vic, is if a person could only have one side dish for Thanksgiving. Because I always say it's like sitcoms, you know? It's like Seinfeld where Kramer is really the star of the thing. It's not Jerry Seinfeld. It's the co-stars that make it. You know, it's Don Knotts, it's Barney Fife that made the Andy Griffith Show, not Andy itself. So I feel the side dishes really make the Thanksgiving meal more than the turkey itself. So which side dishes are the important ones there for you to have at your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, it's critical to have homemade dressing, not stuffing. It's Mama's homemade dressing. And I've got the recipe. And to me, that's the biggest and the most critical part to the whole deal. I've always been a real basic guy. I grew up on green beans and corn. And those are things we'd have homemade mashed potatoes as well because that goes real good next to that dressing with the gravy on it. And Mom always made a fruit salad. And I don't know how to make it other than it might be as easy as just, you know, getting some Cool Whip and having some, you know, cutting up your fruit and putting it in there and whipping it around and being done. I mean, it might be that easy. I just don't. I don't know because I've never made it, but Mom could make a really good salad, but it had whipped cream. It was in the middle of a big bowl of whipped cream, and so that was always really good. Every now and then she'd have a Jell-O salad, which was really good.
Yeah.
Those days for sure. But the critical piece is what we talked about, you know, with the corn, the green beans. Got to have the dressing. Got to make some good giblet gravy. And the turkey and the ham.
Absolutely. All right. Now the desserts.
And then the pies. Yeah, we're gonna have a cherry cream pie from the Bon Ton, and probably gonna have a pecan pie.
And both those come from LaGrange?
The pecan pie could come from LaGrange. I've also gotten them before from the Good Barbecue Company, GOODE,
yes.
Houston. And oh my gosh, you talk about incredible! Those are really good.
Hey, one final thing, Vic, to let folks know about this. In addition to the games, we've got a couple of things coming up where folks who haven't had a chance to meet you or hear from you are going to get two opportunities. One, there's going to be a series of luncheons starting next week. They've asked me to step in and be MC on that deal, so I'm looking for that, forward to that on Tuesday. And then in addition to that, you and I are going to do a show at Pluckers on Monday night on December 6th, the day after the game against Texas A&M, where it's just a women's basketball show. You'll be able to bring a player or two and for folks to come out. So I know you're still doing your outreach, trying to make sure that fans who hadn't had a chance to meet you or see the team and do that to get some opportunities here coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the luncheons are really fun in that you're not – just like with our radio show, nobody wants to come listen to me talk for an hour. And so I really try to make it about the players. I'm always going to have three or four players at the luncheons, three or four players at the radio show. Our Christmas luncheon that we'll have, our kids will sing the 12 Days of Christmas and wear elf hats and, you know, beanies. And it's a pretty neat deal, a lot of fun. And I always have a guest coach from another sport come in and just give an update, you know, a 10, 15-minute update of their sport. So the luncheons, you know, they really could, you know, they've always evolved into something that really they morph into to a monster that we have to adapt to. Right now I think we've got almost 100 people signed up for the first luncheon. And what people are going to want to do is here's what happens, Craig. So, you know, the first couple, it's not, you know, as big as it's going to be, but by the time we're 2 or 3 years in, people are going to be calling a week ahead to make the reservation. And then they start showing up at 10:30, so they can get their quote unquote, their seats because it's all general admission, even though we're not going to serve food till 11:30. And so, you know, everybody that doesn't really have a job and has been up since 5 drinking coffee, 10 o'clock, they're going to go in there and sit down and hold their table until the food's served. And so it really gets to be an entity in and of itself. It's a lot of fun. Again, I talk briefly. It's more about our kids and getting them in front of people and giving them a chance to visit and show their personalities. My staff gets up and talks about certain things and aspects of the program. So it's really a lot of fun. The food's good. It's just a really cool deal. So I just encourage everybody call and get your reservation. And I think we're, like I said, we're at about 100 right now. And for the first one. And again, the radio show is always a fun deal just because we bring our kids. I mean, it's a whole lot more fun and entertaining to listen to them than it is to me.
I think there'd be people that would disagree with that, especially after hearing your Thanksgiving layout there. Hey, yeah. Vic, I appreciate you doing this, and I hope you and the family have a great Thanksgiving. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday before the game with CSUN, and look forward to the luncheon and on down the road. I'm glad we're now into this holiday time of year where there's lots of basketball on the agenda.
There's a lot of basketball. We're, you know, just really want to wish Sark and his group the best of luck Friday. We'll be there with bells on, and hoping those guys can get them a W here. And I was reading the paper this morning, you know, if they'd have a chance to play in a bowl, man, that's so many more practices that you get with those young guys. And the value of that is really, you know, really, you can't put a price tag on it. And you don't worry what bowl it is. You're just glad to be going. It's a great reward for kids continuing to fight and believe and buy in. And it just gives you credibility with everything you're doing. So I just want to encourage everybody to let's show up and be loud and proud on Friday and get those guys home. And again, come out Saturday at 1 o'clock. It doesn't matter who we're playing. You're coming to see our team play, the Texas Longhorns, and we're going to play at 1 o'clock Saturday. So appreciate your time today. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Praise the Lord and hook 'em.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's Vic Schaefer, Texas women's head coach. Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Against CSUN, Cal State University Northridge. And you'll hear it on 105.3 The Bat. We'll take air at 12:45 and the tip-off at 1 o'clock. So we'll look forward to that. But again, as he talked to, of course, Longhorn football, Friday morning, 7 a.m. begins our coverage on our Longhorn game day coverage here on The Horn and on Coke FM. So we'll begin with the Texas Tail Garden and also, of course, at Bevo Boulevard. We'll do that. Longhorn men's basketball tonight at the Irwin Center, 7 o'clock air, 7:30 tip-off, Texas against California Baptist. And I hope you can tune in for that one here on The Horn as well. All right. Coming up, we'll have a quick Longhorn notebook, and then we will visit with Jeff Abels, head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs, when we continue with Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Catch Lake Travis playoff football on the...
This is Light the Tower on The Horn. And our thanks again to Vic Schaefer, head coach of the Texas women's basketball team, for joining us. And by the way, other folks kind of joined me in on this deal on the Specs Tax line where they said, oh, no, we could listen to Vic for a lot of time. He says people don't come to listen to him. He said, no, we could listen to a lot of those. Somebody else on the Specs Tax line said, tell him to try the Texas Pie Company in Kyle. Amazing. So there we go. All right. So anyway, there's that. It's time now for our Longhorn Notebook.
Longhorn Notebook.
Had some questions about this, and you heard you also heard Vic Schaefer mention it as well. He was making reference to the piece from Kevin Little, former writer for The Statesman, who writes for USA Today's network. And his point is that there's still the mathematical hope that Texas could wind up in a bowl game, even at 5-7, if they win, because if there's not enough 6-win teams, any remaining bowl openings would be filled with 5-7 teams based on the NCAA academic progress rate. That's the APR for football programs. And Texas has moved up in the APR standings in recent years, and they would be... they would be probably obviously on somebody's radar if it happened that. He adds that Texas A&M could do Texas a favor and eliminate LSU at 5-6. And it says the Longhorns are miles ahead of the Tigers in APR. West Virginia, MTCU are Big 12 teams on the 5-6 bubble. The Mountaineers are favored at Kansas. The Horned Frogs are huge underdogs at Iowa State. Texas far ahead of West Virginia and TCU in the APR. And he's right about all of that. The issue will be, and Kevin goes on in his story to talk about this. He said, let's really dig into the weeds. Of the 10 spots that are still available, 4 will be grabbed by winners of games that are 5-6 against 5-6. That would make 76 bowl-eligible teams, leaving 6 slots, but only 3 other 5-6 teams are even favored this week. And if hold forms, 3 bids would go to 5-7 teams based on APR. So just 4 potential 5-7 teams are ahead of Texas in the APR pecking order, and 2 of those, Middle Tennessee and Rutgers, can get bowl eligible with wins over other 5-6 teams. The 3rd would be Washington. They would need to upset Washington State in the Apple Cup. The 4th would be Cal. They're an underdog to UCLA. So it's more about the APR thing. And he mentions the new bowl games like the Fenway Bowl and the LA Bowl. There's that sort of stuff. The bottom line is this. There's 2 things at work here. I don't think the APR is at question on that. So I don't think there's anything about that. And they would be attractive. The question is twofold. A, will there be bids out there more than, say, 1 or 2? Because the way that I was doing the math and looking at it, projecting, I thought there may be 1 or 2 that might go to 5-7 teams. But the larger question is, would Texas be interested in accepting a bid at 5-7? And the largest question of all, can they beat Kansas State? They have to beat Kansas State even to be in the conversation about that. So to answer the question from the text on the Specs text line, that's it right there. And I know how fans feel. Some want it. Others say, no, pack it away, go away, and all that sort of stuff. This is about the team and whether they want to accept that bid and go to a bowl game. But they have to win on Friday first. All right. We are very pleased to have the opportunity. Moving him up a couple of days from his usual Friday slot, since we don't have a show on Friday. The head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs, Jeff Abels, joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe hotline here in our conversation, which is brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check him out on the web at cpdoors.com. Yes, on to the Sweet 16 are the Bulldogs getting ready for Brennan this week. Jeff, I appreciate the time. How are you today?
We're good, Craig. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And I know you echo the sentiments of other coaches, not only with whom we visited, but other folks have visited with as well. And you hear when you are practicing on Thanksgiving, it means you're having a special season, doesn't it?
It sure does. There's nothing like it. And it's kind of crazy because the time of year you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to help your wife really get ready for Thanksgiving. And, but yet she knows, you know, it's more important to get your team ready and get your players ready to play a game. So thank goodness they understand that.
How excited are your guys? Because it's not like you haven't coached teams in the Sweet 16 before, but it's been a little bit. So the fact that this current group is getting their first opportunity to play in the Sweet 16 in a regional semifinal, how excited are they when they go to the practice field this week?
They're excited, but you know what, Craig? They're a group that's just been steady all year. You know, they don't get too high, they don't get too low. You know, they just keep doing what they do and having fun. So I do think they're very excited about being where we are, though.
You know, Jeff, the other thing that they keep doing what they do is playing outstanding defense and then also being able to run the football. And if you can run the football and play defense, you know as well as anybody else that you can have success in the postseason. And it looks like your guys are getting better in both of those categories here as you get ready to play your 13th game.
We are getting better, and you're right. And you know, as you play, the longer you go, that competition gets stiffer and stiffer. So you know, this Brennan team from San Antonio, they're very, very athletic all over the field. So we will definitely have our work cut out for us. But we've been playing great defense. The guys are playing hard. But, you know, our offense is helping us too, you know, and running the clock, as you mentioned, running the football and running the clock and keeping their offense off the field. And that sure helps a bunch.
Coach Abels, I wanted to ask about a player that I honestly hadn't seen play much before, but he played a big role in the win against Smithson Valley, and that's number 20, Colin Dulles. Who is he, and where did he come from?
Colin has been one of our corners this year. He's a junior and stepped in, had a good game against Smithson Valley. He's got some reps here and there throughout the season, but has really stepped up, and you know, due to injuries and such, has had to jump in there and play, and had kind of just kept his spot there. So that he's been not a surprise, but a good addition to these seniors as a junior coming in.
Visiting with Bowie Bulldogs head coach Jeff Abels here on Light the Tower on the Horn. I've seen a lot of Brennan this year doing the television show, and I know you have great respect there for that program, Coach Baser, and that group. What really stands out to you when you look at them on tape?
Athletic, you know, and the athleticism. Have a really, really good quarterback, good running back, good receivers. Good offensive line, and then defensively, same thing, athletic, you know, and run to the football and play hard. And so, you know, it's they're going to be tough. I mean, they're not 12-0 for no reason there. They've earned that, and they're going to be a very tough team for us. But I think our guys are ready to play, and I think they know what we have to do to have a chance to win the football game.
Toward that end, Jeff, what is as important as anything else that has to happen for your group on Friday night?
Well, I think we can't give up big plays. You know, they're the kind that, you know, you can have them bottled up and then the quarterback scramble around on you and then chunk it 60 yards to somebody that, you know, on the scramble drill that got open. You know, we can't give up big plays defensively. We're going to have to make them earn everything. And, you know, that's easier said than done. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us, but our guys know that, you know, and they know, hey, we have to do our job and we have to do it until the whistle blows and contain those athletic guys that they have back there. And then, of course, move the football. And I think our offense is ready to do that. They're, you know, they know their role too. They got to score some points, and when they have the ball and keeping it away from them, that sure helps us.
No doubt about that. Absolutely. What's the Thanksgiving plan here, Jeff? You practice in the morning, then everybody breaks and gets the meal before you head down on Friday?
The coaches are cooking for them right now. The boys are out eating hamburgers and hot dogs. So the coaches are cooking for them, and then they're coming in the morning at 8 and having our practice. We'll give them some breakfast tacos before they leave, but try to get them home early so they can be with their family for Thanksgiving and then get back up here to school on Friday for the game.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. Hey, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time here. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Best of luck, and we'll be carefully keeping track of all things with the broadcast on the bat on Friday night. But best of luck on Friday night against Brennan.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving, and thank you for all you've done for us all season.
You bet. Thanks, Coach. All right, that is Jeff Abels, head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs. Yeah, how about that? Coaches cook it out for the players there.
That's nice.
Hot dogs, hamburgers, getting back up there, practice tomorrow morning. Then, like everybody else, have Thanksgiving meals with their family, and then get ready for the game. And it's a tough challenge. Their biggest challenge since, obviously, a Westlake or a Lake Travis. This team is really good, this Brennan team. The computer kind of likes them by 14 and all that other kind of stuff. But you know what? The computer picked against Bowie each of the first 2 weeks.
True.
So
is Brennan better than Lake? They aren't better than Lake Travis, are they? I mean, you've seen them play.
You know what? If they defeat Bowie, there's a good chance we're going to find out, because that would be the quarterfinal matchup if that happens. They're definitely the best team in the San Antonio area. By far, they're definitely the best team in the San Antonio area. So Bowie is facing the best team to come out of San Antonio this year. All right, coming up, we'll get ready to wrap it up. A few final entries there on what your one go-to side dish for Thanksgiving. If you can only have one, what is it? And if you're not eating turkey for Thanksgiving, what would it be that you would eat? We'll be back to wrap it up here on Light the Tower. Before we get done here, certainly want to thank a lot of folks. Thank you for those of you in on it today, wanting to know what's going on. Nate said, I better see some mashed potatoes and at Thanksgiving. I'm fine with ham instead of turkey if that's the choice. Somebody else saying wanting the giblet or giblet, depending on your pronunciation, gravy with the chopped up hard-boiled eggs. There you go. Then somebody pointing out Blue Bonnet Cafe at Marble Falls. Great pies, too. Good luck to the Marble Falls Mustangs against Alamo Heights in the Sweet 16, and good luck to all of the area teams there. Somebody else, my company picked up Rudy's Barbecue for everyone. I'll head out after I eat lunch. Do you need me to bring you some chopped barbecue sandwiches for lunch? I've got a lot of stuff on my plate that I got to get to other than food here. Before we get done, all right, so Les Miles, when he was the head coach at LSU, he was talking less about the turkey and more about the turkey sandwich.
I might add that the turkey sandwich with mayonnaise, mustard, and onions, and a little salad, a little lettuce, kind of makes for good eating later, too, doesn't it? Wish you hadn't mentioned that. I haven't had my lunch yet.
Yeah. Well, those of us who hadn't had lunch yet, we won't worry too much about it. So we get ready to leave. Now, what are you saying, Snoop? Do we have is this deal that this happened 10 years ago? All right. So why don't you re-rack that here on our way out? So on our way out as we get ready to thanks again, everybody. I'm thankful for every day to work with people like Snoop and the great people here and the Texas coaching staff. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful to have a love in my life who she's wonderful and takes care of me and so I'm glad and happy and thankful. I'm happy and thankful to have the opportunity to visit with all of you every day. And we'll leave you with this as we get ready to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was 10 years ago today. So here it is, one final time, the call of 10 years ago today, Texas against Texas A&M in College Station. And we'll visit with you Monday on Light the Tower.
The final play of the rivalry. Tucker's kick is up. Justin's kick is good! It's good! And the Texas Longhorns have won the final rivalry matchup with Texas A&M. Justin Tucker drives it home.